Well, thank you so much for joining us today. We are in the midst of a series on characters from the Bible. I don't say that like, you know, characters, like you might think, what kind of character is in the Bible, but characters of faith. And so in a moment, we're going to turn to Hebrews chapter 11. But I want to begin today praying, if that's okay, praying for the way the world is right now. Lots of pain, lots of struggle, lots of heartache. So will you join me as we pray together? God, today we love you and we're grateful for what you're doing in our lives. We remember, Lord, that today and this weekend has been a hard and tragic weekend of loss at the Hill Country and particularly at Camp Mystic and all along the Guadalupe River. And so, Lord, we pray right now for families who are struggling with loss and trying to figure that out. We thank you for our opportunity today to pray. I lift up just the families, particularly of Dick Eastland and his family, and those who are connected, relations to him here, just the Ramies and others who know him so well because of being cousins with him. And what does that look like, God? We pray that you would strengthen them and help them and walk with them. We pray for families that are still uncertain about outcomes, and I pray that you would encourage and strengthen them. And we know, God, in everything that you redeem, everything you allow, and so we trust you with that. Lord, we also lift up the family of David Dykes for Cindy, his wife, and his children. We thank you for what you have done in his life here. Thank you, God, that he preached the gospel 30-plus years in our community. We thank you as he met you this week, that face-to-face, that he was welcomed into heaven with well done, good and faithful servant. And so we thank you for his ministry, and we pray that you would help people who are grieving in that. Grateful, Lord, that you're in charge and that we have a future. We don't grieve without hope, because of who Jesus is. In your name we pray. Amen. Thank you. Well, yeah, today we are talking about faith, because an uncommon faith. And we all need that faith. We all need an uncommon faith. Common people who need a faith that is strong to make it through life. And it's not just a faith in something that is just general. It's not just a faith in a belief in something. It's a faith in a hope, a real thing that Jesus Christ actually has and has given us a future that is more than the right now, and that has to do with eternity and hope in him. And so we're grateful for that. If you haven't noticed, the banner or the slide has a kind of a theme to it. It's a superhero theme, right? And I don't know what you think about superheroes, but I think most people like the idea of Superman winning out over Lex Luthor, which I actually, until I went to a movie, we went to a movie last night, saw a preview of the new Superman movie. I did not realize that Lex is still around. I thought Superman beat Lex years ago, like mid-70s. But Lex just keeps coming back, right? We got Batman beating the Joker continually. Why? Why do we like that? We like it because there's something in us that recognizes that good wins out over evil, ultimately. That at some point in the future, obviously some point actually in the past, which is when Jesus, what we were just celebrating, died on the cross and rose again, God actually won over evil. But as we live in this already state of having this victory, we're also in a situation where there's, well, a not yet aspect to it. Because we still have this principle, this idea that the flesh reigns, that the world is still broken, that things are not going as God intended originally, and that God will one day redeem it all and bring it back. And we're grateful for that. One day, this victory that Jesus has won over evil will completely overwhelm every aspect of evil, and it will be taken away. And we won't have to worry. We won't deal with things like what's happening on the Guadalupe River right now. We won't deal with our own tendency to move towards evil and sin. We'll be in Christ perfect, which is awesome. But until that day, we keep by the power of the Holy Spirit working towards him in faith. So we still like the idea of superheroes. I actually thought it'd be good. Violet and Lily, will you join me? The Taylors? Yeah, come on up. Family Day of Worship, and so I thought, let's involve some of the families, right? So you guys, here, I'll give you that, okay? Great, Lily, go ahead. You're 9, 10?
9.
9, 12, Violet, okay, great. So when you think about superheroes, right, who's your favorite superhero?
Wonder Woman, because she saves people.
Wonder Woman, because she saves people. That's awesome. How about you, Violet? Do you have one?
Probably my parents.
Oh, your parents are superheroes. Amen. I know them. That's cool. Okay, so you can keep it. So when you think about Moses, right? Moses is this kind of guy we're going to talk about today. And in some ways, he's a bit of a superhero. I mean, spiritual superhero. What do you think makes Moses, like, special?
Probably when he went to Pharaoh, even though he was scared, he knew that God was with him. And so he did it anyways, and God worked many miracles through him.
Oh, that's cool. How about you, Lily?
He led God's people through the desert for 40 years, even though he knew he wasn't going to go to the promised land. He still led them there, and he was faithful.
Why do you think he was faithful? I didn't ask you that question like before, so what do you think?
Because even though he didn't know what was coming, he still trusted in God.
Whoa, that's pretty good. That's pretty awesome. Actually, that's superhero parent talk. No, I'm just joking. But that is so cool. Awesome. Well, thank you guys so much for helping us think about Moses. Grateful. All right? You guys have a seat, and we're gonna continue. Yeah, that's a good answer. I'm sorry to surprise you with that. That came out of my mouth before I was before I thought about that. But what a great answer. You know, when you think about the whole thing with Moses and life in Christ, life in the Lord, I think faith is one of those things that is something we don't totally understand all the time. You know, faith is, as we said last week in Hebrews chapter 11, it's about certainty in uncertainty, not because we can kind of, you know, gen it up in our own mind. It's because of who God is and what God provides. Our certainty doesn't come from anything that we can do. It doesn't come from anything that we can create so that we live in a perfect or protected world. It comes from the certainty of what Jesus provides in us. We've got this hope that comes from what Jesus did, and that we have to remind ourselves of. And as followers of Christ, if you are one of the things about living as a follower of Christ is that you're called to live by faith. You're called to keep your hope in Christ, which kind of moves every aspect of who you are and your relationship with God towards a deeper level. It's how by faith you operate in this world, and that faith is produced by a lot of things. It's a combination of work that is happening in your life. It's the Holy Spirit working in you and you responding to the Holy Spirit, and it's you doing the things that the Holy Spirit puts before you. In many ways, what Moses and this story that we're going to talk about today, or at least the account that we're going to talk about today from Hebrews chapter 11, starting in verse 24, what we're going to see is that Moses is kind of on a journey of faith, kind of like what Lily said. I think it was Lily who said this. I'm not sure. Violet might have said it. This 40-year process, right? That they're walking through the desert. It's this 40-year journey. It's like all of us on this spiritual growth path. And in the midst of that spiritual growth path, Moses has to come to grips with who he is in God and who God is in him. And that's what we're going to read about today. This superhero of faith, it's written about it this way in verse 24 of chapter 11. By faith, Moses, when he was grown up, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to be mistreated with the people of God than to enjoy the fleeting pleasures of sin. He considered the reproach of Christ greater wealth than the treasures of Egypt, for he was looking to the reward. By faith, he left Egypt, not being afraid of the anger of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. By faith, he kept the Passover and sprinkled the blood so that the destroyer of the firstborn might not touch them. So if you were taking a journey, you might create a roadmap of some kind, a place where you want to make sure that you stop and you want to see the things that are there. In some ways, we can think of what we just read in Hebrews chapter 11 as Moses' kind of roadmap to a spiritual life that is mature in its faith. A spiritual life that is mature in its faith. Now, as I said before, one of the things about that is that you've got to begin not just with a whole bunch of activity. It's not just like going on a vacation where you choose, this is what I want to do and I want to make sure I do this. These are not just things that you're supposed to do, and if you do them, everything will be fine. This is not just your own effort. This is actually, faith is actually produced by a relationship with Christ, by abiding in his word, by being connected to him, by receiving his grace into your life. That's where this whole thing starts. You know, when we're talking about things like how to get better, if we want to put it in those terms, in terms of our Christian faith, or how do we want to grow more in our Christian faith, so many times it's about all the steps that we take. And we do have to take these steps. We do have to be obedient. But it's more than just like being able to check off a bunch of things that we've done to make sure that we're faithful. It has to begin with our hearts. It has to begin with receiving the love of God from Christ. I mean, it's this idea that God, in his grace, has revealed himself to us. I mean, think about that for a minute. If God hadn't chosen to reveal himself to us, we would be amiss in terms of everything that life is, but we wouldn't totally understand it. We wouldn't understand how to be rescued. We wouldn't understand exactly what was happening to us. We wouldn't understand that there was only one way. Because without Christ and without God revealing his love through Jesus to us, we would have no form, no ability, nor capability to come to this place where we could, well, engage with God at all. And so first we receive this gift of God. And when we receive this gift of God, which is the salvation of Christ that we were talking about because of the baptism, what happens is the Holy Spirit enters into our lives. And we start to have this transformation that takes place. And the Holy Spirit begins this work in us. And he keeps moving us towards more faith. And he keeps putting us into these positions where we align ourselves more with God, where we imitate Christ a little bit more, where we live with, well, maybe the invisible as an okay thing. Not having to have everything lined up, not ever having to have everything known, not having all the ducks in a row so that we can live as if everything's fine by our own means. But what the Spirit of God begins to do in us is to change how we think about life, how we approach life, and where we stop in life on this faith journey. And that's kind of what Moses does. In these verses, what Moses talks about is really four stops on this journey that I want to talk about. First, that he aligns with God. In the midst of all the things that he's doing, one of the things about his faith is that he was prompted and began to align with God instead of the world. Secondly, he chooses to live like Christ lived. And I'm going to call us to imitate Christ. Thirdly, he does live and embraces the invisible. I mean, we're supposed to live by faith and not by sight, because we can't, in our humanity, know everything, so we just have to trust God. And Moses lives in that invisibility. And finally, we've got to trust in God's way and provision alone. So let me just unpack those things for us, okay? Verse 24 says, "By faith Moses, when he was grown up, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to be mistreated with the people of God than to enjoy the fleeting pleasures of sin." I mean, when I read that passage, what strikes me there is that Moses refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. If you were here last week, you remember that Moses' mother put Moses, when he was born, into a basket that she floated down the river. And Pharaoh's daughter picked that basket out of the river. Now, why did Moses' mother do that? Because Pharaoh, the king of Egypt at the time, had laid an edict out that all of the firstborn, all the male-born children of the Israelites were to be done away with. And because the Hebrews, or the Israelites, were growing so strong and so populous and becoming so powerful that the Pharaoh wanted to control them. Well, of course, the mother of Moses did not put her son to death, but instead wanted to save him and put him in this basket. And he became the son of the daughter of Pharaoh. And so in the midst of this, what he's saying is that I chose, Moses is saying, Moses chose to not be associated, aligned with Pharaoh. But instead, what did he do? Verse 25 says that he chose rather to be mistreated with the people of God. Instead of aligning with the way of the Pharaoh, he aligned with the people of God and the way of God. Now, that may sound elementary to you. I think it does in some ways. I mean, when you think about how do you grow in your faith and somebody says, well, the first thing you got to do is align with God. Duh. It's not a bad idea, right? I remember sitting in an economics class in college my sophomore year. My friend and I, Dave, were sitting next to each other, and the professor was droning on and on and on about economics. Anybody in that situation? Some of you like economics. I get it. The only thing I learned from economics was from Milton Friedman that there is no free lunch. Right, that's the only thing I can remember really about economics. It was not my favorite sport. Maybe that's why I missed it, right? Because I thought it was a sport. Anyhow, I'm listening to this guy drone on and on, and finally from the back of the room, a question came up. Professor, and I don't even remember the question, but I do remember what the professor said to him. This is middle of the semester, and the professor says, I'm sorry, we do not have time to go all the way back to square one to deal with that question. And my friend Dave sitting next to me, I think he thought he was talking under his breath, but he certainly was not as clearly as day. He said these words, maybe that's where we need to be. Square one. And the professor didn't like that, and it was not a happy rest of the class. But here's the thing. A lot of times we got to go back to square one, don't we? We got to go back to the basics. And one of the things that we have to go back to the basics in is that the Holy Spirit in your life is seeking you, moving you towards aligning with the will of God. For Moses, the will of God was to be part of the deliverance of the people of Israel so that the people of Israel could become the people of God that God intended them to be, so that God could bring forth the Savior of the world, Jesus Christ, as the Messiah through that line, so that everyone in the world would have the opportunity to have their sins forgiven by his death and his resurrection. He was the deliverer. And Moses was in that line to be that person. Now, Moses had this problem, though, in the midst of all this stuff. He had an alignment issue because he could have chosen to align with everything that was. In this passage, he says that Moses could have aligned with the fleeting pleasures of sin that would have been connected with living in the palace, the position, the ease, the prosperity, everything about who it would be to be of the royal family. I mean, Moses was, man, at least the second or third highest ranking person in Egypt at the time. One of the grandsons of Pharaoh. Nobody told him what to do except for probably Pharaoh. He had all of that, every aspect of that. And what Moses did was to align himself with God instead of aligning himself with the world. And man, that's a hard thing. Because I know in the midst of what I'm dealing with, in the midst of what you're dealing with, man, you have issues, you have desires, you have interests that draw you towards the things of the world, the places that you find enticing or satisfying or maybe even joyful. And what Moses did was to choose real satisfaction, real joy in the process of being a part of God's plan. Now, I think we have to recognize something, and even in light of what took place over the weekend, that, man, God's way isn't always completely understandable. You know, I can't stand up here and give you reasons for why he allows specifically rivers to flood and things to happen that are tragic, right? But I do know that because of what Jesus has done, as I said earlier, everything that he allows, he is working to redeem and will redeem. And me and you get to be a part of that redemptive process. First of all, we get to be recipients of the redemption, but we also get to be part of the process of bringing that redemption into the world. Even if we're just the messengers of it, even if we're just the hands and feet of it, even if we're just proclaiming it to people, we get an opportunity to be a part of that. And Moses is saying, I'm taking that role. I want to be aligned with God's kingdom. I want to be the person God wants me to be. I want to do the things God wants me to do. And again, it's not just being pulled up by your own bootstraps. It's by abiding in Christ and allowing the Holy Spirit to work in you. And that's how, man, this faith becomes this place where you align not just with the things that you desire from the world, but with the things that God wants from his world. So the first stop on this roadmap that the Holy Spirit leads us on is to align with God and his plan, not just for your life, but for the world. Secondly, it is to imitate Christ. I mean, again, we go back to verse 26. He says, he considered the reproach of Christ greater wealth than the treasures of Egypt, for he was looking to the reward. He considered the reproach of Christ greater wealth than the treasures of Egypt. What does that mean? Well, Moses didn't really imitate Christ because Moses lived before Jesus did. But what this passage is saying is that Moses embraced the same kind of process and thought and experience that Jesus did. What is the reproach of Christ? The reproach of Christ is this well, weird kind of thing that Jesus would forsake being in the presence of his Father, being in the presence of holiness, being connected to as the triune God of the universe, being over all of that and willing to humble himself, as Philippians says, to take on flesh and to live among sinful people and then go to the cross and die on the cross for that sin. That is the reproach of Christ. That is the humiliation of Christ. That is the humble nature of Christ. And what Jesus is, and what the writer of Hebrews is saying, is that Moses, by forsaking the palace and the ease and the prominence that went with the palace, he was doing the exact same thing that Jesus did. He was considering the humility of following what God wants him to do and be as more important than the vast nature of what it would have been to live as the king of Egypt. I mean, he was humbling himself, just like Jesus humbled himself. He was living as if the real reward is not the world, but the real reward is the treasure of God. And so Moses was imitating that. And the Holy Spirit is calling us to imitate the same kind of living. Now, none of us are the kind of powerful ruler that Moses had the potential to be in the world. But we all have a sense of ruling our own environment. And giving up that rule in any way seems like a reproach, seems like a ridiculous idea. But when we can begin to be led by this, let the Spirit lead us towards this idea that, man, following him is more valuable than anything else in the world. That's what Moses understood. And that's why Moses' faith was great and strong. How about third? The third choice, or the third road stop that he makes, is to embrace what he couldn't see all the time. Look at verse 27. By faith, he left Egypt, not being afraid of the anger of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. What does that mean? Well, he was living by faith and not by sight. God wasn't like standing next to him in a physical way when he was having to deal with Pharaoh. God wasn't standing next to him when he was standing in front of the Hebrew people trying to encourage them to live in a godly way. He was having to, well, count on something that had already happened. He was counting on a truth that he knew and believed. He was counting on something that he had actually seen, yes, which was the presence of God in a burning bush, which is pretty incredible. None of us have that kind of experience. But we do have an experience with the Word of God. We actually, when you think about it, Moses stood on this mountain. Actually, at the time, he was probably doing something that shepherds do, either caring for a sheep or looking for a sheep. And as he was doing that, he saw a burning bush off to his left or off to his right or behind him or before him, wherever it was. And it drew his attention because it was burning. It was on fire, but it wasn't burning up. And when he started to get close, it was these words that were probably a little more dramatic than I'm going to say them, but probably a little more intense than you're going to feel as I say them. But basically, he says as he walks closer, he hears these words, "Hey, stop! Take off your shoes, because the ground you're standing on is holy." What? This is not like something Moses is hearing all the time, right? All of a sudden, this bush is burning. Somebody's speaking, and they're telling him to take off his shoes. And you know what he does? He takes off his shoes, right? Because he has a sense that this is something bigger than just the normal everyday life, and he has an interaction with the living God. That's amazing. Now, let me just say this, though. It's not really that much more amazing than the fact that God would reveal himself to us in his word and give us literally everything that we need to know for faith and godliness about him. What you have available to you in your online Bible or in this printed version of the Bible is everything God wants you to know. Everything. I mean, he's given you everything you need to know. You actually have more information about God than Moses had, which is hard to believe. And what Moses is saying you should do with that is to allow it to inform you and move you. Even though you don't see a visible expression of God, you have the revelation that he has given hope through his son, Jesus Christ. That one day every evil will be redeemed, that one day every victory will be won, that one day every promise that he's made will be completed. And you can trust him in that. And what Moses is saying is that what Moses' life is saying to us is that when you live in a visible world trusting in an invisible God, you're not just doing that randomly. You're not just doing that with some sort of, you know, kind of aspiration idea that maybe this is going to work, or this is my last hope, or this is the only thing I got left. No, this is the only thing we have. The hope of Christ. The reality that he will make everything new and that he is moving every single thing in your life and in Moses' life and in the Hebrews' life and in everybody who lived along that Guadalupe River or experienced all that. God is moving their lives towards one end, his glory. That's where he's moving us. You got to believe that. If you can't believe that the God who exists, who we don't see every day in a physical way, is if you don't believe that he's moving this world and your life towards a very specific end that is for his glory, then you will never live in a faithful way. And the Holy Spirit is trying to help you come to the place because of the experiences that you get, those little times of trusting him and depending on him and seeing him work. So when students who've just left are going to be put in a situation in Memphis where they're going to have to deal with homeless people, or where they're going to have to deal with something that is hard about sharing their faith with somebody that comes up to them on the street, or when they're doing a work in the shelter where they're doing these things that are hard and they don't feel like it that day. And when they do it anyway, there's this experience that they have of seeing God be faithful to them, and it just continues to grow. See, our faith grows as we trust the invisible God to do the things that he wants done. And the Spirit of God is moving us towards those things. And the final stop on this journey of faith that Moses talks about is that we trust in God's provision and his way. Look at verse 28. By faith, he kept the Passover and sprinkled the blood so that the destroyer of the firstborn might not touch them. It's exactly what we were doing with communion. Moses, there was one way to get deliverance that night. That night, the night before Israel was released or delivered from Egypt, it was a night of horror, really. A night where God sent the angel of death to come over and destroy every firstborn in the country of Egypt, which would have included the Hebrews as well. And God said, here's how I'm going to deliver you, Hebrews. I'm going to ask you to sacrifice a lamb. And that lamb is as it dies, you're going to take its blood and you're going to put the blood over the doorframe of your house. And every single doorframe that has blood over it will be passed over by this angel of death, the first aspect of deliverance. And if you could only think about it from the immediate, it would just be, thank you, God, for giving us another number of years to live in this world because you've saved us from death. But it was more than that. It's this provision of what Jesus would come to do, die on the cross for us, be this Passover lamb, this firstborn son of God, the unique, well, firstborn in the sense that it's a designation, not that he was actually born because he's eternal, but this one who would be given for us so that we could have eternal life. And Moses experiencing this without understanding fully what Jesus would do was leading people in the way that God instructed. The Holy Spirit is trying to help us live by faith, but he's also trying to help us live according to the plan that God has for our life and in the way that God wants us to live. And the Spirit of God is helping us grow in our faith by pushing us towards living as God designed us to live. I have a friend who's leaving on Tuesday for a 30-day trip out through the West, and he's a guy who is a little bit particular in the way that he thinks about things. So he has a daily schedule of every day what he's going to do. He's going to hike in a number of places. And so he's got his roadmaps of how it's going to work and when it's going to work and what's going to take place. And by the end, if all goes well, Paul will finish this trip having hiked in about 30 different places and having experienced 8 or 9 different states, and the roadmap allowed him to do that to a certain extent. See, the roadmap of faith, just like the roadmap of a trip, will lead us to where we hope to be. And if you want a life of faith, then you've got to align with God. You've got to imitate Christ. You've got to see beyond the visible, and you've got to operate from God's provision and his way. That's what Moses did. By the power of the Holy Spirit, that's what God wants from us. Let's pray. Thank you, Jesus, that we get to walk in you, and I pray that you would continue to help us be these people who are honoring you with everything about our lives. Again, God, we ask your mercy upon families who are struggling right now. We ask your help for them to see you as true and holy and loving and compassionate, that they would experience all of that from you, that they would open up their hearts to it. Thank you, Jesus, that you make us ambassadors of your grace and your gospel. We ask that you would help us to do that in the lives of the people that we come in contact with this week. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's stand and worship together.